is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory. Old song sung by a few people said that romance and all its strategy leaves me battling with my pride, but through the insecurity some tenderness survives. Battling with my pride, the songwriter at least touched on the need to battle our pride, and that there is such a thing as a negative aspect of pride. There's some things that pride is not, and I'll think about it. We use the word pride both in a negative and in a positive way. And it is, I think it's appropriate that it be used in both ways. But we find most of the time when we're looking in the scriptures, pride is spoken of in a negative tone, and it is in fact the kind of pride that is shameful pride that we'll be looking at today, that we'll be thinking about. And first thing we're going to be doing is, and we're looking at this passage, is we'll think about what it is. We want to first just think about what it is. What is shameful pride? Let's define it by other scriptures. And then second thing we'll do is think about what it isn't. And as well, in that section, we'll think about what kind of pride that we speak of a lot of time, which is good and not a negative thing at all. So what it isn't. And then finally, what shameful pride does. We'll look at what it does, and we'll see that in verses 15 through 18, what shameful pride does. And so let's begin here, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to look into your word, and we pray that you might speak to our hearts. We need your help. We need your guidance. We need your watch care over our lives and over our lips today, over our hearts, that as we listen and we take heed to your word, that you might bless us. And Lord, that you would encourage us as your people. Help us, Lord, to always be those who are listening. Help us to be those who are seeking the truth. And help us, Lord, to be those who are searching the scriptures to see whether those things are so, as our Bereans did. Lord, your will be done in our lives today. Pray for those that are unable to be with us, and for your strength and your grace, your peace to be upon them. And just ask now that you might bless us together. Those of us that are here in full health and strength, Lord, we're thankful. And for those, Lord, who have difficulties even here, we pray for your hand of mercy and grace and peace to be upon. We ask your blessings now. Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Shameful pride. He starts, Jeremiah does, he says, hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. The Lord has spoken, and we find that that he's saying, don't be proud. So the kind of pride that he's referring to here, that Jeremiah is referring to here, is a wrong pride. It's a bad pride. It is a sinful pride. It is a shameful pride. So there is a negative kind of a pride, and the scripture speaks about it. Shameful pride, if we were to just give as a weak and a personal definition of shameful pride is the opposing force to healthy humility. In other words, you've got a healthy humility and that is looking at self in a realistic way, and that is looking at others in a realistic way, and is looking at God in a realistic way. But shameful pride looks at self in an overly elevated way, and looks at God in a very minuscule way, and looks at others in a minuscule way. It looks at self as being the most important thing. It looks at self as being the the sovereign in our life. It looks at self as being the the accomplisher, the powerful one, the mighty one, instead of looking at God and then looking even at others. So we think about shameful pride is it is the opposing force to healthy humility. And I think we see that in the book of Proverbs and elsewhere. But look with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Look at a few verses that seem to say that, that seem to back up our definition. And I'm looking for something to back up the definition. I tried to get the definition from here. But Proverbs chapter 11 and in verse number 2, the scripture says here, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Okay, we said we're calling this shameful pride. It's pride that is shameful, and it's pride that brings shame. He says, hey, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. With what? With the lowly is wisdom. The lowly, the humble, those that have humility. So he seems to put pride up against this lowliness of spirit that that is being referred to here. And so it's the opposing force, if you will, to humility. In chapter 16 of Proverbs, verses 18 and 19, Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19, a very familiar passage of scripture regarding pride that we think of a lot. It says, pride goeth before destruction. And notice what he also calls pride, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Pride and a haughty spirit are synonyms here. Pride and a haughty spirit is a spirit in which that we think we're smart and we think we're strong and we think we're able to an excess. Now, to say you're strong is one thing, and it's okay to say you're strong. And to say that you are smart is okay. And to say if it's true, if it's true that you're smart, to say that you're smart is okay. If it's true that you're strong, to say that you're strong is okay. But comparatively, to say that you're strong in comparison to God, and that you're strong over sin, and that you're strong over the flesh, and that you're strong over the world, and that you're strong over the devil, is deceiving yourself. And it is putting yourself in a position where that you're up against God. And looking at this verse in verse number 18, it says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then he says in verse 19, there's a follow-up in verse 19. Oftentimes we just look at verse 18, but verse 19 is a follow-up to verse 18. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. In other words, to be among the pride, among the proud, among those who are shameful pride, it's better to be with the lowly. He says it's better, it's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly. So again, pride is up against, in the scripture, shameful pride is the opposing force to healthy humility. In chapter 28, in verse 25, Proverbs 28, in verse 25, the scripture says there, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Notice what he says here, putting your trust in the Lord instead of trusting in yourself. Proud heart trusts in himself. A proud heart doesn't trust in the Lord, doesn't put his trust in the Lord. Not depending on the Lord, but rather is depending on self and sometimes other things in the flesh, but not depending on the Lord. And so that lowliness, that humility that says, I need the Lord, that says, I need his grace, I need his strength, I need his mercy, I need his help, his power all the time, is an opposition to pride. But pride is the opposing force to healthy humility. Chapter 29 and verse 23, the scripture says, a man's pride shall bring him low. Interesting. It's rather ironic. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. He puts honor up against a man's pride, up against the result of this lowness. So in other words, pride is up against humility again, humble in spirit. If you're humble in spirit, there's honor that upholds you. If you're proud, you'll be brought low. So again, shameful pride is the opposing force to healthy humility. You look at one other passage of scripture in the New Testament now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, again, he's in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, the apostle is extolling God in the salvation of sinners through the foolishness of preaching of the gospel. And he says here in let's start down in verse number 26. It says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen. So there's, in other words, those that think themselves mighty and think themselves, as he goes on to say, wise and think themselves noble. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So in other words, God reverses things. God takes the things that are, which is those in pride, and he brings to naught things that are by the things which are not, the lowly. In other words, it's important to see that we're not the Christ. John the Baptist saw that. John the Baptist, they came to him and said, hey, are you the one, or, you know, what's the deal? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? Are you the Messiah? And he said, no, I'm not. I'm sent to bear witness of the Messiah. I'm sent to bear witness of him. And see, I'm not the light. I'm here just to testify of the light. I'm not the Lamb. I'm here to point you to the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so he didn't want to be filled with pride. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And John the Baptist was not a man that was in any sense less than a very bold preacher of the Word of God, and a man that knew who he was and knew what the Lord's will was for his life and was willing to do it and went out as a man that was a prophet of God, truly an energized prophet of God. But he got his energy and his strength from the Lord. And he knew that, and he acknowledged that. And so, but reading on, it says, why did he do this? That verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. When it comes to our relationship, when it comes to us, the standard of God, when it comes to being in the presence of God and thinking about, okay, I'm in a different company than I am with the world, when I'm thinking about my company with God, my relationship, my fellowship with God, and that in that company, I am nothing. In that company, I am low. And he says here, he's going to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Glorying in the flesh, glorying in ourselves. But of him, verse 30 says, here's the reality of our situation when it comes to our relationship with God. But of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. He's the one that put you in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made, who Christ is made unto us of God, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So everything we have, all these good things that we need, all these good things that sometimes we might boast about, wisdom, thinking that we're so smart, righteousness, thinking that we're so good, sanctification, think that we're set apart and noble, and redemption, thinking perhaps that we can redeem ourselves, that we have the wherewithal to do it ourselves. He says, no, you can't do any of that stuff. God had to do that for you. And the scripture says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so the scripture seems to say, it's back to my weak definition that I gave you earlier, the scripture does seem to say, in my mind, that shameful pride is the opposing force to healthy humility. And part of that healthy humility is glorifying God for what God deserves the glory for. Secondly, what it isn't, what shameful pride isn't. Shameful pride isn't self-respect. It isn't self-respect. Self-respect is a good thing. If it's not overblown, it's a good thing. Nothing wrong with being happy with your accomplishments. Nothing wrong with taking pride in your work. In other words, being happy with what you can accomplish. Now, in that, of course, obviously, that kind of pride is not a pride that is a disruption to our trusting God and glorifying God. In fact, it might be the very means of doing that. It might be the very means to say that God has put within me a kind of a work ethic that takes pride in my work. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's a good thing for us to have that kind of a pride in what we do, a kind of a pride in our work, not the shameful pride that the scripture's speaking about. Secondly, and last, shameful pride isn't being pleased with and praising others. In other words, it's not shameful, it's not the wrong kind of pride whenever we say, I'm proud of my son, or I'm proud of my daughter. It's not a shameful pride to say that I'm proud of you for that. I praise you. Paul said numerous times in his letters, I praise you for certain things. In other words, he's not praising them and heaping praise on them as though he is robbing from God and praising them instead of praising God. He is simply giving them the praise that's due to them for what they've done. And that it's good, and it's okay, it's appropriate for us at times to be proud of one another, to be proud of one another in the extent that we love the companionship one with another. We're proud to be with one another. The Word of God tells us that the children of God are manifested in that they have love one toward another. And that love one toward another is an encouraging love. It's a love that speaks well of one another. It's a love that praises one another. It praises one another. It's a love that rejoices with one another. And so we find that it is not, that's not shameful pride. There's certain kinds of pride that are perfectly acceptable. And those two things, I think, define largely the kinds of pride that are acceptable. A pride of self-respect and a pride of being pleased and praising others. But now we get to the real meat of the matter here that Jeremiah is pointing out is a problem. Pre-Babylonian Israel and Judah, it's a problem that they have. And this problem they have is a shameful kind of pride. It's a pride that, just as we said, that opposes healthy humility. It's a pride that opposes the glory of God as well. And so there's four things, I think, in this text that pride ignores, that pride forgets about and ignores. Shameful pride. Shameful pride, first of all, ignores God's law. I'm going to do it my way, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. What is that? Pride. Vainglory. It's pride. It's saying, I'm smarter than anybody. The children of Israel, or Israel, the nation of Israel, kingdom of Israel, and the kingdom of Judah had a problem. And their problem was they thought they were smarter than anybody. They thought they could do things on their own. And if you look at verse 15, he says, Jeremiah knows that, and Jeremiah says, "Hear ye and give ear. Listen and be not proud." See, pride ignores direction, and it especially ignores God's direction. It ignores God's direction. Give ear. He says, "Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken." Now, if we knew that the Lord had spoken and he's our Lord, then it's appropriate for us to listen and for us to ignore him speaking, which is what Israel and Judah had done, for us to ignore his word, for us to ignore his law in our life is vain pride. It is shameful pride. It is saying, "I don't need him. I don't need him." And not recognize our neediness, not recognize our weakness, not recognizing our lowliness, not recognizing the fact that we don't have anything but what God provides is shameful pride. It ignores God's law. In our lives, of course, what we've done in our society, largely so many places, the Ten Commandments are taken down, right? And we know that. Ten Commandments are taken out of people's lives, taken out of kids' lives, and taken out of other people's lives. And we would like to just ignore the law of God. We want to put the law of God aside and think that we're smart enough that we can govern ourselves. We're smart enough that we can somehow manage our own lives without God and without his help. And that is the vainest of pride. That is the most shameful of pride. And then secondly here, not only does pride ignore God's law, but pride, shameful pride, ignores God's glory. Look at it in verse number 16. He says, "Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness." What does this sound like? It sounds like pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall, right? Kind of sounds like that's what Jeremiah is saying. "Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turned it into the shadow of death." That sounds like a familiar phrase, the shadow of death. Remember Psalm 23, the psalmist David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." David was trusting the Lord. David was in that healthy, humble state whenever he's saying that, when he says, "I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." The Lord's with me. I'm trusting in the Lord. I can go through the valley of the shadow of death. But he says, "Hey, wait a minute. The Lord's going to put the shadow of death in your life." He says, when he turns the light into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. And he says, what's so important? What is it he's called upon them to do? Give glory to the Lord your God. Give glory. Shameful pride ignores giving glory to God. It ignores glorifying God. It ignores praising God. It ignores worshiping God. It ignores just simply being thankful. It ignores thanksgiving toward, gratitude toward God. And so shameful pride says, "Hey, I can do it and I don't need God." And as a result, all the things that I do, I'm not going to glorify God for those things because I'm the one that did it. Shameful pride says, "I don't need to pray. I don't need to pray because then God gets the glory for what I'm doing." Well, the fact of the matter is, God deserves the glory for what you're doing. God deserves the glory for everything good that happens in your life. And so shameful pride ignores God's glory. And then thirdly, in verse number 17, there's another thing that shameful pride ignores. In verse 17, shameful pride ignores God's mercy. God's mercy. You know, to sin, we sang a song just a minute ago that we've sinned against his love, against the love of God, sinning against God's love. And there's a sense in which that this is what's being spoken of in verse number 17. In verse 17, but if you will not hear it, my soul, this is Jeremiah speaking, and he says, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. He says, if you don't hear it, then I'm going to be weeping. Why is Jeremiah going to be weeping? Why was Jeremiah called the weeping prophet? Because he cared about God. He cared about the mercy of God. He was grateful for the mercy of God, and the people of Israel and of Judah were not. They were not grateful for how merciful God had been to them. He says, if you not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eye shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. What's he saying? Here's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is showing forth his mercy, and he knows the Lord has been merciful. He knows how merciful the Lord has been, and he says, what am I going to do? What am I going to do when I see my people in this shameful state of pride? What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to be merciful as I can. I am going to weep. I am going to cry. I'm going to be lowly. They're not going to be lowly, maybe, but I'm going to be. I'm going to be lowly in that position that they should be. And so shameful pride, but it's just going to ignore Jeremiah. That's what's going to happen with the children of Israel, or the people of Israel and Judah. They would just ignore him. They're going to see him weeping, or they may not see him weeping at times because he's going to go in secret places, he says. I'm going to go in some place where you can't even see me. I'm just going to be sure you know I'm going to be crying. I'm going to be weeping for you. I'm going to be weeping for you. Oh, listen, how many times mothers have wept and prayed for their children? How many times has it been that people of the Lord with a tender spirit want desperately God's mercy upon others, upon someone else? God, would you just spare him or her? God, would you take care? God, would you care for? And Jeremiah was the same. God, Jeremiah's pleading, and Jeremiah is weeping over his people, concerned and driven with care for them, and they're ignoring him, and it doesn't matter to them. And so shameful pride ignores how good God has been and how good God is. It ignores mercy. It ignores how merciful God is. Why are things working so well? Why are things still going so well in your life and when you're walking away, not living for God? Why are things going well with the wicked when they don't do what's right before God? Well, one answer to that is the mercy of God. He is merciful, and his mercy endureth forever, the scripture says. He is so merciful. But then we find a fourth thing finally here, and it's in verse number 18 that shameful pride ignores. What it does, what we looked at what it is. We said shameful pride is the opposing force to healthy humility. And what it isn't, shameful pride isn't self-respect, and it isn't being pleased with and praising others. But what it does, we said shameful pride ignores God's law. Shameful pride ignores God's glory. Shameful pride ignores God's mercy. One other thing here in verse 18. Shameful pride ignores God's sovereignty. His sovereignty. When we think about the sovereignty of God, we're saying he is ruler over everything. He is in charge and he is ruler over everything. There is nothing that he cannot do. And there is nothing that he does not do according to his will. The scripture says he works everything after the counsel of his will. The one that works everything after the counsel of his will is who God is. God's the one who doesn't, he's not like us. If I want to do something, I saw many, many times can't do it. I can't do it. Sometimes we get sick and I'd like to go do something, but I just can't do it because I'm broken down. I'm sick. I can't do it. But there's one who is sovereign. There is one, and you say, oh, I wish I could help you. I can take you from, fix you. I can fix your problem. You got this terrible problem. Well, I can fix it. I can fix it. Sometimes we think we can fix just about anything. And doctor moms always can fix anything. That's what they're supposed to do, I guess. Is my mom used to always, she had the remedy for everything that ailed me and still does to this day. If I call her up and say, hey, you know, I got this problem, you know, and she said, well, have you tried this? And do you, you know, there's something that you need to do. And they've got the remedy, they got the answer. Here's, oh, you should have done this or should have done that. And it's there. But you can't fix everything, and we can't, but God can. God is able to do everything, and he does it all so perfectly, so well. And he is sovereign. He is the king. He's over everything, and he's over everyone. One of these days, the scripture says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I don't know exactly what that means and what that entails, but I know this, God is ultimately going to win. He's going to win against the proud. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Destruction is going to come to the proud. God's going to win. God is not going to lose. God is in control. God is sovereign. Men on earth are not sovereign. And we look at some people who think they're sovereign in the nation of Israel and in the nation of Judah. And verse 18 says, say unto the king and to the queen. There's the king and the queen. And they think they're something. And they think the reason why Israel and Judah are doing so well right now, which they were. They were. Because of God's mercy. But they think that the reason why Israel and Judah, prior to the Babylonian captivity, are doing so well, they think it's because they've got a really good king and a really good queen. They are doing what's best for the country. They are helping them out. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves. Jeremiah says, tell them to humble themselves. They think they're God. They think they're sovereign. They think they are holding it all together. They think they're the ones. Oh, listen, that can apply to us too. Not just to a king, not just to a president, not just to, but us that think that we've got our own domain and think that we're in charge and we're in control of our own domain. Say unto the king and to the queen. Maybe you're the king and maybe you're the queen and you feel like we feel like sometimes that we're in our own, we kind of are controlling our own destiny and our own self. Humble yourselves, Jeremiah says. Sit down. Interesting. Sit down. It's like there's another phrase that goes along with sit down. Sit down and shut up. You know, it's almost what Jeremiah is saying here. Tell them to sit down and shut up. Tell them to quit bragging about what they've done. Tell them to quit boasting about. Humble yourselves. Say unto the king and the queen, humble yourselves, sit down. For your principalities shall come down. You think you're in charge. You think that you're holding everything together. But it's only being held together because God is merciful. It's only being held together because God is so good. Your principalities shall come down in a country in which we have continued to kill untold thousands and millions of innocent infants in abortion. In a country where we think it's acceptable to live in lifestyles that are totally contrary to the will of God and completely contrary to what God's word has to say in our lives and the law of God. It's okay to just live how we want to. Why do we still exist as a country? Why are we still here? Why is it that things continue to go somewhat well? Why is it that we still have freedom to gather here this morning? Why are these things true in our domain, so to speak? It's not because we're holding it together, and it's not because we're electing the right officials. It's because God is merciful. He's merciful. And so say to the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principality shall come down. The day is coming when there'll be a day of reckoning. Even the crown of your glory, the crown of your glory. See, their glory is going to come down. Their glory, the king and the queen. They're not sovereign. They think they're sovereign, but they're not. There's one person who is sovereign over all things. And he's to receive the glory and the power and the honor for everything. He's the one that should receive it all. Shameful pride ignores God's law, ignores God's glory, ignores God's mercy, and it ignores God's sovereignty in all things. Oh, listen, God will have the final say. He'll have the final say in the lives of the ungodly, and he'll have the final say even in our lives, day by day in our lives. We say, well, it doesn't matter. You know, God's law will ignore it. God's glory will forget about it. We'll forget to praise him, to thank him, to pray. We'll forget the mercy of God, that God is so merciful, and we'll not praise him for that. And we'll forget the sovereignty of God, that he is the one who is in charge. But ultimately, he is in charge. And he may say, well, this is what's going to happen in your life because you think you're in charge, because you think that everything's going well because you've done something right. No, it's going well because God is in control. And God, if you know the Lord, he loves you. He cares for you. He is providentially making every way straight for you. He's caring for you. He's making everything good for you. He's turning all things to your good and to his glory. And he is just the one that we better be thankful for. And he's the one that is in control of my life and every step of it and every stumble of it and every part of it that is difficult and every part of it that's easy. He's in control of that. He's totally in sovereign control over those things. So say to the king and to the queen, and it may be that I'm the king. Well, that's my last name. But maybe I'm the king, and according to the ancestry.com or whatever it is that they went and looked things up with, said that I'm an heir to King Henry I. So anyway, so y'all can kiss my feet later. But anyway, or my ring or whatever you want to do. But at any rate, it could be me. I may be the king, the queen. I may be the one that he's saying, don't be proud. Hear and give ear. Don't be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord. Give him glory. Don't rob the glory that belongs to him. Realize that he's in control. Depend on him. Lean on his mercy. Recognize he is so merciful, and recognize that he ultimately is going to have the final say. And he might just slap us a little if we think we're doing it all. He might just cause us to go through a little bit more trouble because we have thought that we're in control of things, and sometimes, tribulation, what is it supposed to do? It works patience. Difficulties and trials that go on in our lives, what's that all about? There's one person that's sovereign. One. It isn't the devil. It's God. He's sovereign, and he is in control of all the difficulties and the trials that we go through. He has a reason for them. He is working them out to our good if we know him and we love him. And so as God's people, be careful about shameful pride. Shameful pride. So look at there, give ear. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Shameful pride is the opposing force to healthy humility. We need some healthy humility and say, you know what, I'm not in control. I'm not in charge. Neither is anybody else in this world. But God is, and I need to trust him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us, the opportunity to open your word and to think upon it, and just pray that you might bless us, Lord, as we recount the situation of the nations of Israel and Judah during the days of Jeremiah, that, Lord, that we too might recognize and we might see how desperately we need you and lead us to draw close to you. Lead us to know and to trust you and to know, Lord, that your wisdom is far above ours and that you know what is best. And we just praise you for that and glorify you, Lord, for your understanding of all things and for your absolute omnipotent power to carry out everything in this world to your glory and to our good. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.